Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Armed Radio.
Well, good evening, sheepdogs. Welcome to Well Armed Radio, where freedom is our best friend. Thank you for joining us in our weekly, vigorous, relentless, and sometimes ruthless pursuit of freedom. We are broadcasting live from the very well-armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin. Always my pleasure to speak with the most informed gun owners in the state. That would be you guys. You are your community's finest. With a face for radio and a voice for silent movies, my name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry, and the host of Well Armed Radio. And just a free man trying to stay afloat in the sea of communism, but there's islands appearing on the horizon, and hopefully we'll be seeing some of those come to fruition here in the next year. Could you be part of the show with your calls, questions, comments, criticism, participation? 563-999-3787 is the show number. 563-999-3787. If you're listening live. Speaking of listening live, we've got a couple friends in tonight. We've got Lon from Wausau and Tom from Whitewater, Delavan-ish area. Great to have you guys in on the live feed here. If you are listening live, you can click into the chat. And if you're live, I guess you have to be listening from a computer to get into the chat. I don't think you can do it from a phone. But I also monitor the the Well Armed Radio MeWe page, MeWe.com/P/WellArmedRadio. And otherwise, you can shoot a message there. If you're listening by the podcast, which is after the live broadcast, you're more than welcome to shoot me an email, nik@wisconsincarry.org. So get the show started tonight. Start the show with this usual warning, no sacred cows here. And here's what I got lined up tonight. I was going to talk about, well, first an announcement. The Wisconsin Carry annual meeting is semi-firmly scheduled for Sunday, April 24th, which is the Sunday after Thanksgiving at noon at the world's largest Culver's in Edgerton, Wisconsin. We've had the annual meeting there before. I believe the address is 571 East Richardson Springs Road in Edgerton. I think there's a couple different Culver's in the Edgerton area, but this is this Richardson Springs Road. It's 571 East Richardson Springs Road in Edgerton. It's got the big meeting room that has let us use their meeting room in the past. So we're going to do it there this year and see what happens. Hopefully we get a decent turnout. Had a pretty small turnout last year. We had it last year at the Isaac Walton League Clubhouse, I think we've had it before there. And obviously COVID, I don't know if that kept people down or it's just, you know, an off year as well with elections and everything going on. But we've got the annual meeting coming up again, officially scheduled for the 24th of April. And so otherwise I was going to go through, I got a funny email from, again, not a listener, but a funny email from someone to my Wisconsin Carry email address that I thought I'd talk about this week. I was going to talk about gas prices. I was going to talk about Ukraine. And I was going to talk about, I think that was it. I think that's everything I had on my list. Annual meeting, the email. I already mentioned the annual meeting. So the email that I got from this dude, talk about gas prices and then talk about the Ukraine situation. So yeah, let's get it started here. So the first thing I was going to talk about this week was I got this email. Not sure where the dude gets my name, but his name's, well, I don't, it's, his name's not important. I'm not trying to put the guy on blast, but it's from a guy named John. And I think he might be from Pennsylvania. His area code is Pennsylvania. So I'm not sure how he got my name. I think he read some article. Maybe it was in, you know, Concealed Carry Magazine. I've written articles from before, but this is the email. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to make a few comments, and then I went back and forth with this guy. But here's an email from a guy. He said, I'm appreciative of your time, and thank you for the beneficial guidance you can gift. So I read the first – I'm going to interject here. So I read this first line, and I'm like, okay, anybody who starts to talk like this likes to hear themselves talk too much. So I'm already like, oh, boy, where is this going? So I'll start over here. I'm appreciative of your time and thank you for the beneficial guidance you can gift. In regard to an article that mentioned about various states removing the requirement to have a permit for concealed carry, I wanted to share the thoughts below about the Second Amendment as well as the following. If someone is a law-abiding citizen, a concealed carry permit should have no ill will into their steps. Another road to differentiate those. Silence my phone here. Another road to differentiate those who will abide by the law and those who may not. Reducing the separation repudiates an extra protective level that can be proactively viewed by such a gesture. I'm going to interject again. People that use too many words, I've heard a phrase for people that use too many words and they're liars. They're not trustworthy. I mean, this guy's just throwing word salad in here. So he continues on to say, thoughts on the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is one of the most incorrectly translated amendments. A well-regulated militia, quote, this initial text that various, I'm reading it like he wrote it. This initial text that various forget about and or have no interest in remembering. Historical definition of militia, quote, all able-bodied citizens eligible by law to be called on to provide military service supplementary to the regular armed forces. So a well-regulated, able-bodied citizen eligible by law is not what the modern atmosphere is gifting. Though laws are in place, the process is not well-regulated in regards to the true heart of what was wanted when this amendment was presented. Intense training and ownership consequences of misuse should be proactively brought forth. Again, this guy just, I'm already irritated because people who write like they think they're Shakespeare think way too highly of themselves. So anyway, start this paragraph again. Intense training and ownership consequences of misuse should be proactively brought forth. As if anyone who owns a gun is being trained like military would be to use a gun. Or, and again, this guy's punctuation is terrible. So first, if you're going to sit here and write like Shakespeare, you should learn how to punctuate and you know, grammar, use proper grammar with your sentences. So he starts, here's one, starts a sentence. Or this mentality and have training be required as time moves forward as well for a refresher like CPR. Quote, weapons training is about more than precision and accuracy. We prioritize the safe and proficient use of all firearms while teaching functional mechanics and decision-making. Together, these foundational skills build critical knowledge and tactical judgment to enable the highest levels of safety. End quote. If this would be helpful to have anyone else read this, feel free to forward this over. Thank you for you. God bless. John from Pennsylvania. So this is the kind of emails I get. So I get this email, and so I'm first presuming from the base of this guy's email, this is some guy who's a gun owner who is going to sit here and try to convince me that constitutional carry isn't the way to go. And there's just so much to pick apart with this, because first off, like this guy's got foik up the yin-yang. And if you're familiar with my term foik, foik is firearm owner's inferiority complex. And that's where people who own firearms, people who are pro-gun, they've been discriminated against for so long that they actually begin to develop a baseline self-discrimination against themselves, against gun ownership. They adopt a baseline level of discrimination against guns. Again, because they've been discriminated against for so long, the guns have in the media, in, you know, pop culture, so on and so forth. So I'm starting this off thinking, okay, this guy's a gun owner who is trying to convince me that concealed carry is okay. That shall issue permit systems are okay. So, you know, to go back and forth with the guy over email who, and this is a mistake that I made when I first started Wisconsin Carry. It's a mistake that I've made online on the Wisconsin Carry Facebook group. On various other forms of social media, you assume that everybody you talk to online is an intelligent person. And you realize that's a false assumption. You realize that there's a lot of really, for lack of a better word, there's a lot of fucking idiots out there who don't even have coherent thoughts. And the propensity of people who don't have coherent thoughts to speak their mind to a greater extent than others is very notable. Stated differently, it's smart people don't seem to run their mouth off as much as dumb people do. So I'm you know, giving this guy the benefit of the doubt that he's pro-gun. My response to him was, John, I couldn't possibly disagree with the sentiments you expressed more strongly, but I would invite you on my podcast to debate the merits of them. I broadcast a live podcast on Sunday nights. I put a link there. I said, if you would be a guest on this Sunday show to share your opinions from your email and then let me debate, challenge those, let me know. Nick. So for me to reply to some dude from John from Pennsylvania, like, not worth my time, but it would be good content for the show. So I thought, yeah, I'll invite him on the show and I'll debate this point by point with him. And of course, so here's John's reply. I am thankful for your response and the opinions you have. Sundays for myself are a day off from all types of activities to align with a Sabbath. you can disagree with whatever I push forth, though removing a permit that criminals would not want to have in its potentials presents to the potential to repudiate the possibilities of proactively knowing who and who does not want one. Most law-abiding citizens should have no problem. If I was a gun owner, I would have no problem obtaining a permit. Okay, so stop right there. First off, I can't even make sense of what this dude wrote. Now he says he's not even a gun owner. So now this guy's gone from someone who I would tolerate and you know, entertain debating on the show to someone who... And in his initial email, he says to me, if this would be helpful to have anyone else read this, feel free to forward this over. So he reads an article. I don't know how he got my name, but he must have clearly must know that I support. Maybe he heard me on a radio. His area code is from Pennsylvania, but people keep their cell phones. He may well live in Wisconsin. So here's this dude who wants to disagree with me on constitutional carry. Sends me an email about it. Tom on the chat says, was the return address Mendota? For those of you out of state, or maybe Mendota, there's a mental health institution, mental health institute up in Mendota, outside of Madison. So this was an email. It could have been sent from anywhere. But so this guy wants to disagree with me. And then he says, if this would be helpful to have anyone else read this, feel free to forward this over. So, like, he's going to send me something that I disagree with, that I that is contrary to my Wisconsin Carry's mission, my beliefs, the issues that I advocate for, and then think that I'm going to share it around? Like, what kind of fucking dream world does this guy live in? Like, that there's people's audacity amazes me. I let things like this. So when I say irritated, I let things like this fire me up because I love to debate stupid shit. It's just, there's nothing that I find more fun than when I say debate stupid shit, exposing stupid shit. But this guy sends an email disagreeing with a position that he knows that I hold and then suggests that I could forward it around to other people. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to forward around something that's contrary to what I believe in. My response. His response. If I was a gun, this is his second reply. If I was a gun owner, I would have no problem obtaining a permit. With everything happening within the war in Ukraine, citizens are being trained within the use and depths of firearms. That type of depth is what should be presented within the Second Amendment, not haphazardly owning guns without incredible wisdom, handling of said weapons, and mental capacity to make the accurate choices or to the best of one's training, if ever needed to use. Again, you are entitled to your opinions, though if you disagree so strongly, highly unlikely a debate would engage into anything constructive. Just speaking truth for the betterment and protection of little boys and girls and the nows and tomorrow times. Appreciation within the path of you. God bless, John. So now I couldn't help it. Now I'm just going to tweak this guy. So I said, first off, John, the Sabbath is Saturday and it ends at sundown. Sunday evening would be a good time for you, should be a good time for you. It appears you may benefit from some biblical research as well as some constitutional research. I would encourage you to have a more open mind on such important matters. You seem very committed to holding rigidly to your conclusions rather than challenging your beliefs. Challenging your beliefs is the only way to seek truth. His reply. I thank you for your response, though your assumptions are off base and nowhere close to being true. You specified Sunday, whereas I take all of Sunday to restrict from work-related and non-necessity type activities related to such. In the heart of the Sabbath, whichever day one has, the depths of doing such is to intertwine within the heart of the day. I have proven constitutional research with informational thoughts and conceptual grasping of the Second Amendment's truth. I sing and praise the Lord every day. Bible readings every day along with that praise. Though I appreciate your response, the presentation of your words seems to awaken the thoughts that you think you are correct on all, hence the attack with little knowledge you know of myself. You are entitled to your opinions, but try and find out about someone, their background, and their beliefs one actually has prior to judging them with little to no factual evidence. food for thought, appreciation within your time. God bless, John. So this is my reply to John. So let me get this straight. You sent me an unsolicited email suggesting my support for constitutional carry, which I have no idea where or what you read to end up sending a message my direction was. But you sent me an unsolicited email asking me to share your conjecture with anyone who I feel appropriate. Yet I give you the opportunity to come on my podcast and defend your assertion where it would be widely heard, but you decline, citing Sunday. No problem. We can record the podcast any day, anytime. Let me know when you are free and I can send you a phone number to call into and a link to the podcast. See? See, I can record the show and then I can upload the show to the podcast. This is John's reply. I am grateful for your response, though nothing you presented is what I had done. Due to some of the state's reductions in the permit to carry, I welcome the view outside of the possibility of what you have to gift the helpful potentials for which grasping various perspectives may grant. Piercing within the grand puzzle of the whole picture, so to say, I adhere to a Sabbath without ceasing, so I must decline the Sunday podcast. A lot of incorrect assumptions and seemingly things that are blatantly false presented into my roads. So with that being specified, the steps into the horizons is best fitted to not partake within a podcast. Good luck with your podcast and the pathways of your tomorrows. Appreciation for your time. God bless, John. So my reply, John, I just offered to do the podcast any day of the week. No interference with your Sabbath. Just my opinion, John. You talk like you are trying to sound like Shakespeare. You use overly complicated phrasing, which doesn't add anything to the content of your statement, just makes it hard to read and understand. It's as if you substitute logical analysis for complicated prose. Stated differently, if you want to be taken seriously, stop being so phony. You've wasted my time. John's reply. I appreciate your email. You continue to lash out with incorrect lies and attacks into my responses. I am no phony and forever engulf the mindset of truth. You have proven why I have no desire to interact in a podcast as you remain spreading lies about me like your baseless comment of phony. I have done various types of writing, poetic writing, stage plays, screenplays, and others as well. I sometimes write in the heart of poetic beats and may awaken that type of written environment. Spread lies, I never will. That's your path to choose. A gratitude within your path. God bless, John. So that was the last thing. Oh, but so, you know, here's the thing. These people, and now it's, you know, I shouldn't even, based on everything that this guy shared, he doesn't know a damn thing about the Second Amendment. He's going to sit here and present it like he does. I think now it's pointless to go and point by point this because the guy is clearly someone who doesn't know what he's talking about. But just this notion that people sit there, I mean, what about a car? I mean, what about, you know, knives and lighters that kids play with and burn things down? I mean, but this guy's going to sit here and go off on, you know, you should have no problem. If you're a law-abiding citizen, you should have no, and again, it's even difficult to, that's why I wanted to have the guy come on a show, because it's so hard to even make heads or tails. But the gist of what I think he's saying in his initial email is that if you're law-abiding, you shouldn't have any, you should be happy to get a concealed carry permit. I mean, if you're law-abiding, I mean, let's say if you're a good parent, you should have no problem getting a parenting license. You know, you should have to get a parenting license before you have kids. I mean, you know, you're going to have someone's life in your hands. I mean, if you're a law-abiding, upstanding citizen, you should have no problem, with any, giving up any constitutional freedoms. You should have no problem letting the police come into your house to search it. I mean, you're a law-abiding person. Well, what should you have to hide? You should separate yourself from a criminal by letting the police come in your house to search it. Anyway, I would have loved to have the guy on the show, but again, he probably couldn't even. It just, that's the kind of emails I get. Next thing I was going to talk about tonight was gas prices. You know, this is just a little economics 101, and some of you guys get this, but people who don't acknowledge this are either woefully ignorant or blatantly politically spinning. You know, the Dem messaging is Putin's war increased prices on gas. Now, that's true, but it's still Biden's fault. So gas prices were already rising from Biden killing leases and shutting down pipeline construction. So gas prices have been creeping up ever since Biden took office. That's a fact. But it's also true that the big spike has come from the war in Ukraine, Putin's war. But this notion that, and nothing that Biden had anything to do with, is just specious. Because if America was still energy independent, it wouldn't matter what Putin did, because we wouldn't need overseas oil. And it's true that the market for oil is global, but as a net exporter, it would have been super easy to impose export restrictions to keep prices low here. And of course, you can only do that short term because long term export restrictions with oil prices higher on the world market would drive non-domestic production. Price controls don't work long term, but they do work short term. So what I'm saying is here, if the United States was still producing all the oil that it needed, we weren't importing, we were exporting oil, then the effect of Putin doing what he's doing overseas could have no effect on our oil prices because we're producing our own. Now, again, the market for oil is a global market. So then all you would need is to put on export restrictions for a short period of time to say, hey, you can't sell oil overseas, or you can only sell a certain amount of oil. Essentially, you say to oil companies, you have to fulfill domestic demand before you can export. And the oil you export, you can get the global price. But the domestic oil, you can't. And so there could easily be a mechanism to make this happen in the short term. So even if Putin invaded Ukraine, under, for example, a Trump presidency, which wouldn't have happened, the price of oil wouldn't have spiked like this. So, and Democrats, they have to know this. It's pure spin. But forget the elected Democrats and Jen Psaki and all these other talking heads in the news. Just your average person's got to realize this. It amazes me when I listen to Jen Psaki's press conferences, when I listen to Joe Biden talk. They must really think, and I don't say this facetiously, I mean it, they must really think the American people are stupid. Because some of the stuff they say is just so illogical and so unsubstantiated. Anyway, so all right, so the next thing I had tonight was Marjorie Taylor Greene, big fan of hers. And I'm using this as my segue into the Ukraine topic. Big fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene. But I've heard a quote from her recently that she said that Ukraine should just give up and they should just surrender. And so that really irks me because I'm a big fan of hers. But we can debate what the U.S. should do, what the role of the U.S. should be in Europe, with Ukraine, supplying weapons, you know, what sanctions, all stuff. We can debate that. But I just think it's immoral to tell someone not to fight for their freedom. So for Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I haven't heard her statement in full context, and I'd like to, you know, understand why she said it. Because I do respect her. She's been a ball buster there in D.C. But, you know, to suggest that they can't win, they should just surrender. People die for freedom all the time. And if freedom isn't worth dying for, well, then no one would ever serve in the military. So when Marjorie Taylor Greene says that Ukraine should just surrender, resistance is futile, surrender and save lives, that just seems completely, I don't know if hypocritical is the right word, but how do you say that as an American who, you know, people will enlist in our army and end up going overseas in wars and they'll die. And of course, maybe she thinks that, well, those are wars that we would win. But I mean, look at Afghanistan. We didn't win the war in Afghanistan. I mean, my cousin served my cousin served in the Middle East. I don't remember if it was Afghanistan or Iraq or both. But my cousin served in the Middle East, and he, seeing everything that's happened, I mean, he made the comment to me that he thinks his term of service was in vain. He wrote a book about it. He thinks his term of service was in vain. Just went over there. People he knows, people he served with died. And then are we any better off for it? Again, he feels like his term of service was in vain. I understand why he feels that way. So sticking on Ukraine here for this topic, have you heard the new song in tribute to Zelensky that was written by Five for Fighting? It's called Can One Man Save the World? I see pretty broad support for Ukraine. And look, I'm not a foreign policy expert. I'm not a foreign policy wonk. And, you know, you guys listen to the show, you're not either. And to be honest, I don't think many politicians know what the hell they're doing in this regard either. What I do know is I know what I would do if I was a Ukrainian. I know my principles and I know freedom. And someone invades this country, someone threatens my life, my standard of living, a foreign invader. I mean, what the fuck is the Second Amendment for? So I support Ukraine's right to self-defense. Just like I support every human on this earth's right to self-defense. So who's right and who's wrong? I mean, I don't see Ukrainian troops in Russia. I didn't see a bunch of dead Russians prior to the invasion. So, I mean, what should the U.S.'s role be? I mean, I don't know. That's over my pay grade. I mean, I have thoughts and opinions, but I know what I don't know. But I don't have to ask myself if I should cheer for people who are acting in self-defense, because that's a no-brainer. And I think the people of Ukraine are acting in self-defense. So I support that. And when I hear people, it seems to me like some people are like, well, let me first say that whenever you find yourself on the same side of an issue as Joe Biden, you have to seriously challenge your position in something. So, I mean, I support Ukraine, and Joe Biden supports Ukraine, and, you know, I hear from some, I don't know if I'd call them libertarian types or even some conservative types on, like, the Wisconsin Carry MeWe page, and they don't seem to support Ukraine. And I don't know if they just don't support Ukraine or they don't support the U.S. involvement. And I don't know if their lack of support for Ukraine is because they think it's going to lead to World War III. And so for that reason, they're just like, screw Ukraine. Ukraine's expendable. I mean, and there could be all kinds of different reasons. So again, when I see that I'm on the same side of an issue as Joe Biden, I have to seriously question my position. That said, I don't know that I am on the same side of the position of Joe Biden. I mean, Joe Biden is expressing his support for Ukraine. You know, the reasons that he's supporting Ukraine may well be because they think that Russia got Trump elected or something. But there is such broad support for Ukraine that I understand there's some people I think are just reactionary. Anytime everybody supports something, like they're on the other side, they could take the opposite position. And I've heard people that say, you know, before you go supporting Ukraine, you should understand what Ukraine did. And there's what about the American biolabs in Ukraine, all this stuff. And I'm not going to call those conspiracy theories because I don't know enough about that to, and I don't want to be like a lib and just something that you don't embrace. You just refer to it as a conspiracy theory. But again, I support Ukraine's right to self-defense, just like I support every human on this earth's right to self-defense. And this is not to say I think the U.S. should be, I mean, you know, Trump gave Ukraine weapons. I think that's a pretty good statement that there's some good guys over it. I mean, I trust Trump's judgment. I think he showed great judgment on foreign policy. I think Trump showed that he doesn't have special interests and ulterior motives. And so if Trump was arming Ukraine, I think that's probably was a wise thing. I think that support for Ukraine is probably justified. But again, for me, no brainer. I don't have to ask myself if I should cheer for people who are acting in self-defense. I'll do that every single day of the week. People who are acting in self-defense, I'll cheer for them. What I do know is I think we need more politicians willing to show the kind of leadership that Zelensky is, the president of Ukraine. What I do know is we need more people to value freedom like Zelensky is. Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, I mean, he could have got a chopper ride out of Ukraine from the United States or NATO or whoever. He stayed to fight, to die, perhaps, for his country's freedom. I mean, his tweet that he said, you know, I don't need a ride, I need ammo. And he stayed in the capital of Kiev with Russians coming to try to kill him. Russian mercenary teams trying to kill him, multiple. So Zelensky could have had a chopper ride out of Ukraine, and he stayed to fight, to die perhaps, for his country's freedom. Putin isn't on the front lines. Zelensky is. American presidents don't go fight in wars. Zelensky is, and I'm not suggesting that Zelensky's picking up a rifle. American politicians don't go fight in wars. American presidents don't go fight in wars. American politicians don't go fight in wars. But they do send our sons and daughters to go fight them. And then as a Democrat, they leave them high and dry in places like Benghazi, and they put politics over our soldiers' lives in Afghanistan. And say what you want, Zelensky has courage. Balls, no American politician would. And look, I love Donald Trump. I think he was a little bit weak on the Second Amendment. But Donald Trump ain't going to go pick up a rifle. D.C. comes under attack from a foreign invader when Trump is president. He's in a bunker in another state with Secret Service before you even get a news report about it. And again, my point is that Zelensky's showing more balls and courage, willing to die for his country, than any other politician I've ever seen, any other president I've ever seen, any other leader of any country that I've ever seen. I mean, I'd have to sit there and think about it. I mean, I don't, you know, Winston Churchill, did he stay in London? That's a little bit of history that I don't know the intricacies of. But in modern times, Zelensky could be on the talk show circuit right now. Zelensky could be here in the U.S. Doing the Sunday morning talk shows, talking about what happened. No, he didn't. He didn't. He stayed there and he fought. But here's another thing about Zelensky. If Zelensky was, you know, I hear people saying that Zelensky was, he's a bad guy. Think of these Second Amendment angles. Arming citizens. Zelensky, in the Ukraine, they've been arming citizens. I've heard them say that there's grandmas. They've got pictures, and again, some of this could be media propaganda to try to win the media war, but they're arming citizens. I've seen the news reports of citizens in Ukrainian cities setting up checkpoints to get in so they make sure no Russian saboteurs get into the city. Again, average law-abiding citizens, not members of the army. I mean, maybe they've declared them members of the army, but just arming citizens is something that tyrants don't do. A tyrant does not arm their citizens. And also, tyrants don't get this kind of loyalty from their citizens. I made a graphic that I put on the Well Armed Radio MeWe page and shared it on Wisconsin Carry's page. And it said, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. If Zelensky was a tyrant, his own people could have easily taken him out. But his people are fighting for him. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in anybody's mind that Ukraine is putting up a far better fight than anybody expected them to? That's because of Zelensky's leadership. So again, what should the U.S. role be? I don't know. I see people, even conservatives on the conservative side of the aisle, that are poo-pooing Ukraine and trying to cast Ukraine as a bad place and that Ukraine has skeletons in their closet too, and that we should just wash our hands of the whole thing. And I just don't see it that way. I see it as, I would never tell, you know, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, I would never tell someone to give up on their freedom, not here, not in another country. And also, I look at who's the aggressor. This is a tactic that I learned years ago, and it works. You know, like if your kids get in a altercation, or if two people get in a fight or a bar fight, and you're trying to figure out, you know, who started, who's the aggressor. Try this. And this is a little trick that I've used over the years. When people get in a fight, and you're trying to figure out who started it. Ask people to stand where they were. So if your kid's getting a fight, you know, one kid hits another kid, one of your kids hits the other kid, get them together and tell them to stand, say, okay, let's figure out what happened here. So then let me get this straight. Well, so, okay, you know, little Johnny, you go stand where were you? Jane, where were you? Johnny goes and stands where he was standing. Jane goes and stands where he was standing. And tell me what happened. And then don't make a big deal about it. Just be like, okay, I want to hear everyone's side. And say, where were you standing? To the one, and it seems innocent, and they'll probably tell the truth. And ask the other person, okay, where were you standing? And they'll likely tell the truth. They'll probably agree that, yeah, you were standing there, you were standing there. And then say, okay, now tell me what happened. And then ask or determine where the physical altercation took place. And that'll tell you who the aggressor was. Because they'll be so focused on who said what and who did what, but proximity tells you a whole bunch of things. Almost always one person went towards the other person. You don't ask that, though. You just ask, you know, where did the confrontation take place? Where, you know, oh, you hit your brother? Where were you when he hit you? Because you got them standing where they were when they started their argument. And then ask them, where were you when they hit you? And almost always one person went towards the other. And so you look at and see who went towards the other person, and 99% of the time, that's your instigator. And that works in a bar fight, too. In a bar fight, if let's say you're a cop, you show up to a bar fight. Say, okay, where were you? Where were you? Ask the party A in the bar fight where they were. Ask party B where they were. And then ask where did the physical contact, where were you when the physical contact, the punch was thrown or whatever. And where that took place almost always tells you who the aggressor was. Because the person that went to the other person, because someone could, you know, sticks and stones, they break my bones. Words are just words. But you take physical action to confront someone, that's generally the aggressor. What's my point? So Russia is in Ukraine, not the other way around. Russia was in Russia, Ukraine was in Ukraine, and now Russia is in Ukraine. I mean, that's the aggressor. It's really simple. There wasn't some dispute about the border. We all agree where the border was. We all agree that Russia's in Ukraine. I mean, Russia's is the aggressor. That's entitles Ukraine to self-defense. What's Ukraine supposed to do? They're not entitled to self-defense. All the people on, whether it's the Wisconsin Carry MeWe page that are poo-pooing, oh, that they, you know, we don't support Ukraine. Why wouldn't you support Ukraine? And I'm not saying support Ukraine by, you know, sending our troops over there. But I always root for the person who's acting in self-defense versus the person who's the aggressor. So that's my take on this whole. In fact, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to read some of the comments that were on the Wisconsin Carry page, because I think it's interesting how people respond to this. Here's one. This guy, Mike Madsen, says Zelensky needs to surrender and answer for his war crimes against his own people. Okay. I don't know who this guy Mike Madsen is on the Wisconsin Carry MeWe page, but if Zelensky was committing war crimes against his own people, how the hell is he getting him to fight so strongly? How the hell is he getting so much loyalty from his people? If Zelensky was a tyrant, well, fuck it. They'd all just run to Poland or surrender to Russia. They're fighting like literally their lives depend on it. So if Zelensky has all these war crimes against his own people, he wouldn't have the support of the people that he has. They wouldn't be doing such a great job pushing back on Ukraine. This is just logic. Here's another guy on the Wisconsin Carry page says, I wish all these people rooting for Ukraine were as willing to fight to preserve their own freedoms that are being attacked on a daily basis. You're not going to like it, but at some point soon you'll be able to sit on the sidelines. And I agree with this. I think that rooting for Ukraine is a lesson that people should take heed of here. We should look up to people who stand up for their self-defense. We should look up to people who stay and fight for what they believe in. And we should take cues from that, not call on them to surrender. Some other comments that were made. Some guy, Blue Arrow, he makes a comment, I thought Trump may be the Antichrist, but now I'm thinking Zelensky is a possibility. Now, I'm not even going to give this time guy a time of day, and they start citing scriptures and stuff. But Hazel Runpack is the guy on the MeWe page. I'm getting so tired of the propaganda on both sides. If it's got a song, it's probably a propaganda tool and not much rooted in reality. Ukraine has faults like any other regime, some of them just as bad as Russia's. I believe in self-determination, so Putin's invasion is anathema, but I'm not sure he doesn't have some justification in the fight. I can see that the West, Biden and Europe both, have helped lead him to it. Until we can get real facts, I hope we can have the sense to stay out of the battle and help de-escalate the situation. But with the current administration, that's probably a pipe dream too. Well, again, I'm not advocating for sending in troops. And again, I think Biden's been wrong in every foreign policy thing in the history. I forget who said that. There was people that have said that. Look, Biden's been wrong in every foreign policy issue of the past 30 years since he's been in the Senate. But I think the admiration, the song about President Zelensky, which I think it's a super cool song. And I think Zelensky's behavior should be looked at as admirable. And just the comment that, you know, if it's got a song, it's probably a propaganda tool. I mean, you're welcome to say that, but there's no law. That's not a rule. We've got the laws of gravity. It's not a law that if it's got a song, it's probably a propaganda tool. That's not true at all. So if it's got a song, it's probably a propaganda tool. Okay, so then when Alan Jackson wrote, "Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning," was that a propaganda tool? No. It's a country singer who loves his country. When Lee Greenwood sang the song, "I'm Proud to Be an American," and Trump uses that song, is that a propaganda tool? Or is that just patriotic? So this is my thing. Like, I see people, you know, there's obviously people that support Ukraine, and there's people that seem to be, like, in the conservative side of the aisle, but they're just maybe agnostic on the thing or something, you know. And this guy does say, "I believe in self-determination, so Putin's invasion is anathema." Actually, would have to look up anathema. I don't know. I got a pretty good vocabulary. I don't know what anathema means. But I think that Zelensky's behavior should be admired. I think people should be. I think Zelensky's a stud. Just be honest. And I don't know. I mean, look, everybody's got faults. Everybody, you know, nobody's. There's no angels out there. Zelensky's no angel. Trump's no angel. I love Trump. He pissed me the fuck off on his Second Amendment stuff. After Parkland, Florida, Trump just, I was so frustrated with Trump after Mandalay Bay concert, Las Vegas shooting. I was super irritated with Trump. So, I mean, you know, I don't have rose colored glasses on. There's no angels out there. But I think what Trump did should be admired like crazy. I mean, Trump could have sailed into the sunset, a billionaire celebrity. He wanted to do what was right, and that should be respected. We should embrace, and we should support people who do what's right, because if we don't support people who do what's right, even if they're not angels, but we support people who do good things, do great things, then other people won't see those great things and do them. I'm supporting Zelensky because the guy's got some motherfucking balls. Say what you want about him. He's got balls. If Zelensky was corrupt, I think he would have taken the plane ride out. I think if Zelensky was, he would have taken the helicopter ride out. So yeah, I think Zelensky's a stud. I think the guy, you know, I think he deserves our respect. You know, and that's not to say that he's never done anything wrong. I don't know foreign policy that well. I don't know. But I do know what I'm seeing. I'm seeing him stand up and fight. I'm seeing him show leadership. I'm seeing him fight for his country. And I'm seeing other people fight for him, for his country. And that tells me something. If Zelensky was a tyrant, he wouldn't have the loyalty, the ferocity of will to fight from his people. If Zelensky was a tyrant, he would have taken the plane ride out, be sitting here in America going on the talk show circuit, his family be safe. I mean, there's a lot to respect about that guy. And again, I'm not, I just don't know him well enough to say that he's some kind of saint. And I think it's part of the problem. I think there's some people in Republican circles that always, they're always looking for a saint. There's no saints out there. There's none. There's bad things to say about everybody. Hell, you can find someone to say all kinds of bad stuff about me. Oh, Nick's a jerk. He's all, you know. It takes a little bit of a jerk to be effective. Because if you're not a little bit of a jerk, then you, people roll you. I mean, truth is, sometimes I can be a bit of a jerk, but it's with a purpose. I'm an asshole with a purpose. Oh, what do I else got tonight? I think that was it. But yeah, that's my take on Ukraine. Look, foreign policy, I'm not a foreign policy wonk. You're not a foreign policy wonk. But I do know courage when I see it. I do know that I support self-defense. I do know that I support people's right to protect themselves. I do know that I would never tell someone to surrender to a foreign invader. And so am I going to deify Zelensky? No. Do I admire him? Yeah. Do I love that song that Five for Fighting wrote about him? Yeah. And isn't Five for Fighting, aren't they the ones who, I want to say they got kicked off of social media for posting something, I don't know if it was pro-Trump or anti-woke or anti-cancel culture or something. I don't know. I just feel like, and see, here's the other thing. And see, this is one thing that bothers me, like this guy on the Mimi page, Hazel Runpack, who says, if it's got a song, it's probably a propaganda tool. See, the liberals have always had entertainment to use in their quest for their progressive agenda. Entertainment, music, sport, so on and so forth. It's a very powerful thing that if we conservatives ever want to really win, we need to be able to have conservative entertainment that's actually entertaining and be able to use conservative entertainment, conservative media to push our values. I mean, look at gay rights. They use the gay rights, the entertainment, Hollywood, tell this many, many times. They failed at every, when I talk about the culture war with the Second Amendment and how we have to win the culture war, the Second Amendment will not protect our gun rights, our right to keep and bear arms forever. It won't. The Second Amendment will be chipped away at, overturned, whatever, if we don't win the culture war. And I point to the fact that, look, politicians do not lead cultural change. Politicians glom onto cultural change. Politicians are not innovators. They don't come up with some great new idea. Hey, people, they're not these geniuses. You know, the country is really looking to be more. I mean, Trump was a bit of, but see, Trump wasn't even a genius in terms of, Trump was just amongst regular people enough to understand the sentiment that was out there. As a business person, Trump understood that there was this burning passion for a patriotic American ideal. And it didn't involve open borders and it didn't involve losing our culture. So in that sense, Trump was a bit of an innovator, but more just a typical business person who could observe and recognize. Steve Jobs, that guy was an innovator, but he's just more of an observer. See, that's the thing. Innovation isn't as genius as you think. Innovation is, okay, Jeff Bezos, I don't like the guy, but understanding how much, when Amazon first came out, people were like, yeah, people aren't going to want to buy their stuff online. People like to hold it in their hand and shop and try it on. But innovators aren't see, entertainers, like there's some really creative entertainers that come up with some really new stuff that's like you've like never heard before. But even entertainers, like they've got their influences. Like there's very creative entertainers who like, oh, I was really influenced by the Beatles and I was really influenced by Elvis. And then that, and then you realize, oh yeah, when they came out, they you know, some new artists are like, yeah, I thought it was a really new and unique sound, but now I kind of do see it. Yeah. It's kind of a blend of the Beatles and Elvis. I mean, so innovation only looks like innovation to the people who aren't innovative. Anyway, back to this political angle, this culture war. The gay rights. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, gay rights lost across the board. They lost, if it was ever on a ballot somewhere, referendum, legislation, people who supported gay rights, they were not elected. You know, it was even Bill Clinton, a Democrat, signed the Defense of Marriage Act. I mean, gay rights lost at every turn back in the 90s. So what did the gay rights crowd do? They set about winning the culture war. They've got the media entertainment complex. They started putting gay characters into TV shows. And then after they put gay characters into TV shows and normalized people to a gay character, then they made TV shows about gay people, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. They normalized, and all of a sudden they used the entertainment complex to drive a cultural change. Imagine if we had some pro-gun, the best example I come up with was Mel Gibson with Passion of the Christ. He used entertainment to push a cultural phenomenon. But imagine if there was like a really good Hollywood director who made some awesome films. When was the last time you saw an awesome movie about someone who was a law-abiding citizen, I mean, armed for self-defense, protected themselves and their family, delivered themselves from, I mean, for me, I'm thinking like Red Dawn. Remember Red Dawn? That was a movie that was popular when I was middle school, elementary school. I don't know. I was pretty young. But that was a cool movie. We're invaded by, was it the Soviet Union at that time? Who was the antagonist in Red Dawn? I think it was, I can picture them. But we were attacked with, I don't think it was Russians because that time would have been the USSR. Anyway, we were attacked by, in the movie Red Dawn, we were attacked by a foreign invader. And these kids from the high school see this happening out their high school window and they run and, well, you'd have to see the movie, but a cool movie. But that sentiment, like that was very influential on kids my age. Like that was cool. Like, yeah, we can, with guns and our trucks and we can save our country. That's not a mentality that you would see. That's not a sentiment that you would see in pop culture these days. But there is ways that you can use the media and culture and to advocate for your cause. So when someone says, if it's got a song, it's probably a propaganda tool, we got to stop thinking that all songs are propaganda and start thinking if we could have songs. Oh, I love them. There's that rapper. I forget his name, but he's got some Second Amendment rap that's really, really good. Like, I don't even – rap isn't really my thing, probably mostly because of the lyrical content. And then there's this guy that raps about the Second Amendment, and it's fucking good. That's some good shit. I realized that it wasn't the beat and whatever rap I didn't like. It was the content. And now you hear you got someone rapping about the Second Amendment. I mean, I posted it to the Wisconsin Carry page, the Second Amendment rapper. But that's where we need to go to win. We have to win the cultural war. So yeah, we need songs about our stuff. We need movies about our values so that our values look cool, so that our values are something that kids aspire to, that people think is, you know, the way to go. So anyway, that's I think that's everything I got for the show tonight. That's my thing with Ukraine. I hope people give it a second look, and instead of trying to look at it from the, you know, angles that the politicians and the people on TV are saying, and instead start looking at it from the, you know, what is there here to admire? What is there here to respect? Because I think there's a lot. I think Zelensky is a figure that, I mean, you know, I don't know if he makes it out of this thing alive. But if he does, I mean, that guy's stature on the world stage has just gone way, 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 way up. And I think deservedly so. And again, I don't know everything about him. And I don't believe what I read on the internet. Here's some guy, oh, he should answer for his war crimes. Well, I mean, I'm a pretty open-minded guy. Okay, so what war crimes has Zelensky committed? Because I don't think a guy who's committed a bunch of war crimes against his own people is going to have his people fighting that hard for him. But go ahead and try to make the case. Referring to some guy on MeWe. But anyway, any of you guys gotten into Truth Social yet? I don't have an Apple phone, so I haven't been able to give it a roll. My fiance, she got in the waiting list, and she's just waiting. Another friend of mine, Phil, he's on the waiting list and waiting. So I got another friend here in New Berlin. She's on the waiting list waiting. So really hope that Truth Social gets its act together soon. I'm bummed that it sounds like it's really like more like Twitter instead of Facebook. But that said, certainly just the fact that it's going to be a conservative, freedom-respecting, freedom-of-speech-respecting platform, I think it's going to be a great tool for conservatives and a chance to reconnect. So Lon says his wife just got on. So Lon, your wife got on, and she can literally use the app. That's super cool. Tom says he's 650,000 on the list. See, I got an Android phone. They don't yet have the Android version. I don't know, Lon. So, Lon, let me know. Maybe you know for next week's show. I'm curious if you want to shoot me an email, Lon. I'm kind of curious. Nick@wisconsincare.org. I'm just kind of curious how it's functioning. Is it going well for her? You know, I'm wrapping up the show here now, but speaking of which, just my audio ran out. There, we'll do the ending audio again. All right, that's the show for the week. Lon, super interested. Keep me posted. I'm interested of how your wife is like in Truth Social. I'm jealous. I want to be on there. So you guys have a great week, and thanks for tuning in, and carry on, and be well armed.
Chick Julie, you've been listening to Well Armed Radio, and I have to know, is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.